You need to learn, how do I get ready for that? And I think you're not really sure what a wife's supposed to do, what a husband's supposed to do. You've watched your own parents, you've watched other people. But you don't really know what to do. So how do you find out? Well, because most of us in this room claim to be people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and want to live our life based on His standards, that's where we start. You have to go to the Bible. You have to begin to see what kind of guidelines does God place for those kinds of responsibilities. You have to do that same thing for parents. And just as you didn't know how to walk the Christian life when you became a Christian, you've learned along the way what it takes to build a relationship with Jesus, it's like that as a parent. When I, the first day that I realized I was
in your life, that if you choose to be learners and ask questions and observe, you'll find out how to do it. There's just a few other things I wanted to share with you, and one of them is that I feel like children require you to become mature. You have to really become an adult. You're the one that has to call the shots as to what is really best for this other little person. You have to think in terms of a long term, you know, not only when they're one, but in terms of when they're 20. How am I preparing this child so when they leave my home at 18, 19, or 20, they know how to handle life? It requires you to think about another person's welfare, not just your own. You no longer can think about what you want to do on a Friday night. You have to think in terms of, I've got these little people that I'm responsible for, and what are they going to do on Friday night? And that affects what I'm going to do on Friday night. There's an element of sacrifice. You have to sacrifice time. You have to sacrifice money. You have to sacrifice thoughts. You have to think about them and think about what's best and think about their future and think how you're going to equip them. You have to sometimes postpone things yourself that you desire because you realize those things can wait. But you only have those children for a certain amount of time. And as I thought about that idea of sacrifice, I thought, we're willing to sacrifice for things that have value to us. I mean, you all are paying a sacrifice right now to go to school because you feel like that's going to help you get on with some other goals that you have in your life. So some of you are paying a high sacrifice as far as time, as far as money, as far as other things that you could be doing for this 4 or 5 year period of time. That's the same thing with children. If you value children, if you value family, if you believe that, yes, that's where God's placed me, then you're willing to do what's required to raise that family. Just one little personal insight into our lives. Because we have 4 children, and they're varied in ages from 16 to 7, it's often that we're asked a wide variety of questions at always the wrong time in terms of our schedule. You know, you're just walking out the door, and one of the kids hits you with, Mom, can I go do X, Y, and Z? And you don't know any of the details except that. Or another one comes through and needs to ask someone else, and someone else needs to ask for the car, and all these things. And so it's real easy to get real irritated and think, would y'all just leave me alone and let me go do my thing? And so one day, as that kind of had happened around our house, and I was gone for a few minutes to run an errand, I thought, now, Lord, I chose this. I chose to be a mother. And when I chose to be a mother, I chose to be the person that the buck stops with in terms of all these kids have to come and ask me all these questions. And I have to be able to give them an answer. So why am I complaining? And why am I so resentful or mad or whatever else? I chose this. And the fact that I chose this, then I need to learn how to find you in the midst of this. Because this is exactly where you placed me. And it's in this situation, in this phase of my life, that I will find you, I'll find your grace, I'll find insights into who you are as I learn to go to you in the midst of the struggles and how do I parent these children. And that's true with anything in life. Wherever you're at, you learn to find God in the midst of where you're at as you'll choose to go to Him. So, we'll let Dave.
I did a survey tonight, and I'd like to share with you some things that my children want me to pass on to you. And what I ask them is, what are the statements that we say around our home routinely enough that it tends to keep the morale and the enthusiasm fairly stable around our home? Take these things, practice them on your roommates when it's appropriate, and learn them well so that when that day comes that you have children to raise, there'll be words you can say very sincerely. Number 5 in our survey was, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Now, my children one day will learn to say that because they've heard Dad and they've heard Mom say it over and over and over again in admitting we're wrong. And that's how they'll pick up brokenness and humility. Number 4 on our list is, hey, you want to go to Brahms? Now, the inflection of the voice is everything. You have to say it somewhat secretively, somewhat enticingly, so listen very carefully. Hey, you want to go to Brahms? Let's say it together. Hey, you want to go to Brahms? It's pretty easy, but you got to work on it. Say it with your roommate a lot. What it says, when you look a child in the eye, when you wake them up in the morning and you whisper that in their ear, is it says, I love you. Number 3 in our rankings was this one. Go ahead and buy it. I don't say that often, but when I do, the kids get a kick out of it. Number 2, if I could choose children all over again, I would choose you. And that's just my little routine way of reminding my kids that they are no accident, but that they are exactly the children that God has given to me, and I wouldn't do it any differently. And especially in the heat of arguments and disappointments and discouragements, that line has gone a long way to affirm them. And number 1 on their list in this survey was 3 simple words, I love you. And it needs to be said very, very, very frequently in a home. It is never boring. Thank you. Eric, Julie.
I think if you all just took good notes on that, that's pretty sufficient right there. In a way, we've had one of those weeks that hadn't lent itself real well, you know, to great preparation and lots of thought and getting lots of good stuff down. You know, when you got 5 people in your house and 3 of them are sick and 1 of them is your wife, you know, you don't really write that down as one of the most joyful weeks you've had. Maybe you learn a lot from it and God teaches you from it, but you don't think, wow, this has been an incredible week. I've got this done and this done and this done and this done and got ready for this and that. And at the end of the week, you just say, oh, thank you, God. I've made it through the week. I praise you. Anyway, that's kind of week we've had. You see, Julie's doing much better now, and I praise God for that. Anyway, I say all that to say that we're going to do the best we can and share with you some things that we've learned about this. We didn't enter marriage perfectly ready for marriage, and we've been learning along the way, and we're still learning. And that may be one thing it's good to say is that, you know, you learn the whole way. You don't hit a certain point where you've made it. You've arrived. Having a successful family requires a willingness to work and to work at it and to work at it. And to pray, and to pray, and work at it, and pray. It's not easy. It's not if you just kind of let things go and, you know, kind of expect things to just kind of drift along to a good, you know, happy, successful family. You won't get there. It'll just kind of gradually drift apart, and there'll be problems. So there's 3 things we put down I thought, we've got three kids, we'll put down three things. We started them with C's, you know, like a good sermon. Communication, commitment, and then Christ. And the first thing I thought of is, kind of goes back to what we spoke about a few weeks ago, an area of communication. And some things, thoughts I had there is, some things you better be working on now is just how to communicate. Or if you're dating someone, learn how to talk about these things that are going on. That's true just for getting married, and it's true when your kids come along. But then when your kids come along, it's even harder to communicate. And it's harder to talk, because when they're, you know, 9 months old and 2 years old and 3 years old, they don't, you know, you can't just say, hey, mommy and I want to talk, so, you know, why don't you guys let us talk? You know, so you talk, and they're, mommy, daddy, what do you want? So you get used to communication and be ready to do it. And something I put down in that area too is just get a couple good books, even before you get married or right as you're married, about raising kids. Talk about it with your husband or your wife. Get a good book about marriage. Book about, you know, discipline. What's a proper way to discipline your kids? Read the Bible. Get a book that's based on what the Bible says and what the Word says. And learn about that. And begin to pray for God to build in you some of the things that will require, and I'll talk about some more of those in a minute, but to be able to just discipline your children effectively. That's not an easy thing either. And it's real easy. Well, I'm not going to go there right now. What do you want to say on that?
Well, I was just going to say, just as far as commitment, where just the small children, and you know, I can really see where Derek and I are still working on that and how we have to continue. It's a continual process with small children, and just being in the ministry, with Derek being able to attend all the seminars and, you know, all the meetings, all the special activities, and with the age right now that my children are at, you know, I'm not able to do that. So if we don't communicate, basically we can isolate ourselves, and it can be him. Or it could be me and the children. So communication is a key.
Something I just thought about there is, it goes into the next thing I want to talk about, which is commitment. And I'm really strong on this, especially when I'm talking with guys. Some of the things I'm going to say are to guys. And sometimes I can get pretty tough, pretty hard. But you need to be committed to your wife, committed to your children. You need to be committed to pray for them, committed to serve them. You know, guys, want to think about what it takes to be married, get your Bible out when you get home tonight and read through Ephesians 5, start around verse 20 or somewhere there, and just start reading through that. See what the Bible says about being a husband and what that takes. I was just thinking about a time just a couple weeks ago when Julie was wanting to talk to me about something with the kids. This is, kind of falls under communication here. But she was wanting to talk to me about something with Caleb, and he's going to preschool, and there was something going on at school. And she was trying to talk to me and ask me, you know, what should we do? And I was tired, you know, it was after 10 o'clock, I think. I was tired, you know, and I hadn't been feeling all that great. And I was like, yeah, well, we'll just do this. And then, you know, Julie kind of had to call me on that. And then God had to call me on that, you know, saying, now, what are you supposed to be doing, Derek? You know, you're supposed to be the authority in this family, where the ultimate decisions lie. And you're just kind of, you know, at least for this one little thing, you're just kind of passing it off. You need to be a man and do what's right. So I had to go ask Julie to forgive me for just kind of not even worrying about what we were talking about, and make the decision and talk with her about that and why we were making that decision. So when you're committed to your wife and to your children, one thing that I've learned a lot of is there is one of the biggest problems you'll face in having a successful family, it works for marriage too, but also for family, is there is no room for selfishness. And guys, if you go into a marriage thinking, you know, here's the things I want to do, and I'm going to do this, and, you know, on the weekends I'm going to do this and do that, don't get married if that's what you're thinking about. Because you got to be thinking, one of the things you'll be working on now is thinking of others right now. And putting others before yourself, like Colossians 2, 3, and 4. Consider others better than yourself. You need to do that for your family and for your kids. And your time really is not your own. Now, there need to be some times when you can get away and have some of your own time. But your time is not your own. And, you know, guys, it's hard to get home from work. You've been working hard, you know, most of the week. And you just, you know, you want to sit down and read the paper or you know, watch TV or watch the football game on Monday night or, you know, go out to the driving range and hit golf balls. Well, that sometimes that's just not an option. Actually, most of the time, that's not an option. You need to get home where communication falls in. You need to talk with your wife. You know, you've heard this if you've been in any kind of marriage seminar, but you know, your wife needs to talk. You've been talking all day and you don't want to talk, but you need to talk. And a lot of guys just go ahead and just kind of blow it off. But you are committed to your wife and to your children. You spend time with your kids. And there's times I get home and my kids want to play and I just think, I don't want to play now. Well, that's too bad. It's like Nancy said, you know, this was my choice. This is a responsibility I have. For me, it's that easy. So, there's, you know, you start even praying now, just where am I selfish? You know, and start preparing even now to give yourself to your wife, to your kids, to supporting your wife, to encouraging your wife, to treating her like a lady, to helping your kids and being thinking about what do I need to be teaching my children? What kind of example am I setting? And be thinking about those things.
Another area of commitment, too, is just that Derek and I have decided that I would stay at home with the children. And, you know, when I was growing up, my mother worked, and, you know, I turned out okay. But and she's real successful. She was a teacher. Now she's a principal. And but something that Derek and I were really praying through is that, you know, at times when I came home from school, you know, I hurt and I needed someone to talk to, but my mom wasn't there. And I love my mother very much, so I'm not in any way criticizing her. But these are some areas that God has really showed me that for my children, I want to be there for my children. And I want to be the best friend for my children. So for our commitment, I have chosen to stay home and be there for them. Also, I guess, too, without, you know, I was pregnant 9 months and went through delivery and labor. And, you know, I want to be there for my child when they take their first step. And I want to be there for my child when they smile or when they first wave. And so just in that area of commitment where, you know, and it is hard because a lot of times I think, gosh, I wonder what it'd be like if I worked. You know, at times I wouldn't even have to mess with this. You know, when kids are screaming and I just want silence for, you know, 5 minutes. But I have, like Nancy said, I have made that choice. And I've also made, Derek and I have made that commitment with God that I will stay at home.
Last thing that I put down is just, I called it Christ. And that Christ had better be the center of your life now, be the center of your life when you're married, and be the center of your life when you have kids. You draw your significance from Him, your identity from Him. Jude's going to say something more about that. And also right now, you better be developing strong disciplines that you need just to continue walking with Christ and having Christ as a part of your life. You better be getting time in the Word and be letting God use His Word to begin to change your life and transform your mind and those kind of things. One thing, when you start having a family, spending lots of time with God becomes less and less and less. And if you haven't developed any kind of, you know, consistent relationship with Christ at that point, it's not going to happen. It won't. It will not happen. So now is one of the greatest times in the world to be preparing for having a family and having kids. And one of those things we're doing is just spending time in God's Word, walking with Him each day, learning to listen to Him, be sensitive to His Spirit and what He's telling you.
An area where Christ just really revealed that to me about what I see as significant is I used to be a very strong choleric, very organized. Everything had to be in its place. I couldn't go to bed until the laundry was done, dishes were done. I mean, exactly perfect to the T. And then I had a child. And You know, it was okay. I got a husband too. I could still manage it and keep it up. But then I had two children, and it just went. I mean, I couldn't keep things picked up. I couldn't keep the laundry done. I couldn't keep dishes done. And God just really showed me, where am I putting my significance? Is it on what I do? You know, how my kids act? But what I need to turn my significance to is who I am. And what I am is I'm a daughter of the King, and I'm a child of Christ. And also, that's what my children are. And God handpicked those kids for me. And which is a scary job sometimes, but he handpicked those, and he chose me to be their mother. And I count that as a privilege and an honor. So just, you have to see where your significance is and who you are in Christ.
One other thing I think of there is, it's really easy for parents to begin to kind of think about yourself or draw your significance from what people think about your kids or say about your kids. And you can get in a bad trap there because, you know, start expecting your three-year-old to act like a mature, you know, 25-year-old adult, so people will think you're a mature 25-year-old adult, or 30 or 40. You can't get in that trap. Sometimes your kids, you know, in your process of teaching them things, they're not always going to act perfect around people. And you've got to be ready just to let that happen. Know who you are and what you're like, and you're doing the best with your kids, and don't let people try to tell you that, well, you know, your kid's acting like that. Well, I wonder what you're like. It's a dangerous trap, so you just can't get caught up in that. Dick and Nancy Jaques are next.
I remember when we were married, 6 months? And she goes, guess what? We have a surprise coming, 4 months. And 9 months later, we had our first man. And I remember that real sobering, very sobering feeling of being a parent. I mean, it was sobering enough getting married, but then it was even more sobering to me to have a child. She had the child, but to, modern psychology teaches us that bad things are passed down from one generation to another. You know, the scriptures have been teaching that for a long, long time. The sins of fathers will be passed down from one generation to another. And so we're going to try and basically talk about, you know, if we grew up in one of those homes that perhaps wasn't ideal, am I going to have kids? Am I going to parent my kids the same way I was raised? Am I going to pass down a lot of damage to them? And the good news is you don't have to. You don't have to. You know, as what has been shared so far, I just say a big amen to that. And I think, you know, it can sort of be summarized with parents' job. And by the way, I think more is caught than taught from parents. But a parent, basically, their main job is, or some of their main jobs anyway, is to teach how to have intimacy, how to teach a child to be loved and to love, how to live in relationship with other people. Dave was talking about asking for forgiveness, those kind of things. Being separate, in other words, having, in a sense, your own identity rather than always being attached. Another thing is how to handle failure, how to handle losses, grief. All those things are so important for parents to be able to model and to allow that to rub off on their kids. Now, there are no such thing as perfect parents, and you can ask my kids, there'll be a big amen from them. But, you know, we learn so much from our parents. In fact, one of the big things we learn, too, is our concept of God comes from our relationship with our parents, primarily. But, so I don't want to parent bash tonight because, you know, our parents might have blown it, but their parents, you know, it just, where can we stop? We got to go on and on and on. But anyway, the idea here is that the less we have of those things, in a sense, we have a deficit. And so we need to just consider how we were parented. Not to blame, but to consider the losses that we have, the deficits we have. And then how we are responding to that parenting. In other words, it's our responsibility now. You're adults. You need to take responsibility for the choices you make. So look at primarily how you are in relationships. Because that will tell you a great deal about, in a sense, your emotional or your relational skills and how you're doing and how you're going to relate to your kids. So, three things I'd like to leave with you. Number one is be willing to honestly look at your life. Number two is take ownership for the choices you make. And number three is build your life on a foundation in Jesus Christ, because He is ultimately the one who can fill those losses, those gaps that we've experienced in life. And I'd like to leave this statement with you. I've shared it with you before. Some of you haven't heard me say this, so I'll share it again. It's a good statement. It's growth begins when blame ends. Growth begins when blame ends. And Nance is going to share a little bit about the practical ins and outs of that in our home.
Well, I basically wanted to take maybe one little area. Pretty much a turning point in parenting a number of years ago that has really just continued to solidify me in realizing that I need to be secure in Christ. I need to spend my time with Him, getting His perspective on life. An area that helped was I realized that I was very concerned about how people perceived me as a parent. You know, if I wanted to make sure that they saw me as a good parent. And in other words, went back to my performance. It went back to, was I performing like everybody thought I should perform as a Christian parent? And basically, what that did is it determined how I was going to respond to my kids. I was looking at how He wants me to respond to my children, but how I am perceiving something. And it would be different. Everybody I was around, well, this person parents this way, so I better parent this way. And that was wrong. I wasn't looking to God as my security or my significance. An example of that would be when the kids would do something and I would lash out in anger. God began showing me that a lot of times, you know, it was, they're embarrassing me, so I don't want them to do that, so I would get angry with them. Or it might have been different things. And what God began showing me was that instead of looking at what other people perceive me as, I needed to go back to Him. As Nancy was saying, find out from the Word who I was as a person, how God wanted to use me, and that I needed to grow in maturity as a person in my relationship with God. And so basically how that has helped me is when I have those emotions of wanting to lash out at my children, which I can say I still do, but I see as I'm growing through it. And that's the neat thing that is so wonderful. When you become married, you grow in your relationship with God, because there's conflict there. And that conflict is good as we learn to deal with it. And there's a lot of principles we talked about before in dealing with that in marriage. And then conflict within our kids grows us. If we will have our perspective and our focus on God, He will grow us up. And, you know, I think just kind of a backtrack here, the gals here will probably struggle with their performance as a parent more than the guys will. Because especially if you're an at-home mom, that is where your significance is found, because you're not working. you know, you're not out, especially when your kids are really young, that's where you're getting your significance. How are people perceiving me? And yet that's not what God wants. He wants us to go and find our security in Him. And so basically when I would become angry, and now when I realize I'm angered by the kids, I try to think through, okay, is this age appropriate? Are they responding because, are they acting that way because that's just their age? Or is it because I'm embarrassed, or is there something in my life that they may be doing, that there's something God wants to do with me? And I've learned that, God, what is it? Why am I angry? And I just begin asking questions, asking God, what's going on within me? What do you want to change within me? And sometimes, then that kind of has helped me to pull back and realize that either I can see then, God gives me a perspective where I can see I need to discipline them in this area, and a lot of times it's all three, you know, a whole bunch of areas. I need to discipline them, yet there is something that God wants me to learn and grow as a person. And as I do that, I will respond more calmly and effectively to my children. And you know, that goes into, you can start that now with your roommates, with your friends, that how am I responding? Is this something God wants to teach me about myself and help me to understand His love for me more, or, you know, some area of your life? There's can be a lot. And so, I guess three things I wanted to share along that line was that, you know, God is maturing me as a parent, and He will, you know, that's why He gives us the blessing of our children. There's so many things that we can learn about Him and about ourselves and about our children. And one thing it is that I need to learn to talk. We've really tried in our home to talk openly with our children, that we have told them that one of the main things in our family is that we respect them as children. Dick and I respect them as people, as children. That we learn about them as people. Be a student of our children. And you can learn that now in college. Be a student of your roommate. Be a student of those around you. You know, get in a relationship where someone who has been walking with God longer can help you in your relationship, and then you can go and help someone else. That will help you too as you become a parent. A second one is self-control. God has taught me a lot that I need to have self-control. And in order to do that, I need to seek Him and get His perspective on things. And so oftentimes that means taking a step back, reflecting on what's happening in this situation, and allowing God to show me my response to my children or my response and how that needs to be played out. And a third is to look to God for pure responses. Trust in Him and seek Him. And as a result, I'm getting to know God more intimately because I'm trying to focus on Him. I did come from a good home. There wasn't a lot of but I did have messages, and I'm learning those more and more with my children, and yet all these principles that I've tried to share can be lived out no matter what kind of background you have. That God can, if you will apply these things, going to God and allowing Him to help you see the messages within your life, and He can prepare you for being wonderful parents. And so I would just encourage you to start now with your roommates, with your friends. Really work on these things. Get good time with God and grow in your relationship with Him.
Max and Sandra.
We have one son that's married, and we have a new little grandbaby, and I've got a picture if any of you want to see right afterwards. I'd be delighted to show it to you. We wanted to say a few words tonight about the relationships of your parents, the relationships that you have right now, because whatever relationship you have with your parents now, you're going to bring that right into your marriage. You don't just suddenly live somewhere with your parents and then you get married and you forget about your relationships. And it's very, very important that you have good relationships with them because you're going to be together at times like Thanksgiving, Christmas, weddings, funerals, all kinds of times. So it's very, very important that you have a good relationship with your parents. And as you're dating, that you get to know your parents-in-laws to be, because that is very, very important. It's important that you honor and respect your parents. And Sandra, you might want to say a few words about that.
Just some practical ways some people say, well, how do I honor or respect my parents? And, just as I'm going to just give you some suggestions. Ask their opinion. That's one way. And listen without rebuttal. Okay? Be grateful. Your parents have given probably a good part of their life for you as far as their time, their money, their effort. They've sat up with you at night when you're sick. They've changed those dirty diapers. They have literally given their lives. And then they get this kid that's 18 or 19 that knows better about everything than they do all of a sudden. And kids, that doesn't sit well. And it's not going to sit well with you as a parent when your kid does that to you. So be grateful. Recognize your parents are just people. They're not perfect, but they love you. I've often thought, if any of you were in a wreck, or any of us, and were paraplegics before we got home tonight, probably your parent would be the one that would take care of you for the rest of your life, literally. They love you that much. You may, at least one of them does. Some of you are from broken homes, I know, and have imperfect situations. But, not expecting your parents to be perfect. But these are just some ways, just asking their opinion, realizing that they are just people too. They make mistakes. Just because when we get to the age of 18 or 21, we think we've got a lot of wisdom. And so we begin wanting to run things, run our own lives, and we resent sometimes parents telling us what to do or too much input in our life. And, let me read you a couple of Proverbs. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." Then Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days." And so those are some pretty implicit verses that talk to us about being learners for the rest of our lives, listening and paying attention to these people that love you more than anybody else probably in the whole world. So parents play a big part in when you go into marriage, as Max has said, your in-laws and your parents are very, very, for the rest of your days, you're going to be involved with these people. So you need to have a good relationship with them. And as you get older, you will earn the right to be their friend, not only their son or daughter, but you will recognize as you get older, as you respect and honor them and honor their position, despite the fact they may not be perfect, but you honor their position as your parent. And as you do that, you're going to find that they're going to be your friend as well as your parent. And that's a beautiful place to be.
One of the real joys of my life has been the relationship with Sandra's parents. And it was true for my parents when they were alive. I mean, we've gone on vacations together. We've done fun things together. It's been a real, real joy. And incidentally, Sandra's dad is here tonight. Her mom passed away a few months ago, but her dad's here with us till Thanksgiving. And it's always a delight to have him around. And, I can honestly say I've learned so much from my parents and from her parents. And so it's very important now that you carry on a relationship with your parents, because that will help prepare you for marriage. And they will be such a tremendous blessing to your children. You want your children to know both sets of parents. And so carry on a good relationship with them. They'll be a blessing to you all the days of your life. Okay? Our time's more than gone, so let's pray and we'll be on our way. Father, thank you. As we've listened and learned already this semester, that regardless of what's happened in our lives, Jesus Christ is adequate. And as a result of maybe some very, very hurtful situations, we can grow, we can learn, we can move on in life. In the last few weeks, as we've talked about dating, and Father, I know there have been some hard things said. There have been some things said that people haven't liked. But Lord, our desire is that someday the people in this room may have beautiful marriages, that they might experience what we've talked about when we talked about marriage and what we've talked about tonight with children. And Father, I know today one of the great joys of our life is to see our son and daughter-in-law and to see the way they live and the values they have and the importance they place on you and their relationship with you is such a joy. And we would not take anything for the time that we were able to give to Brent as he grew up. And I thank you that we've been able to talk about what we know these students want in their life. They want to be free from problems and things that pull them down, and they want to know you, and they want to have beautiful marriages, and they want to have meaningful, happy families. And then, Father, next week, as we begin to talk about their careers, I pray that this semester we will learn things that will be so helpful to us for the rest of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard tonight. Thank you for each one of these families. We thank you for the reality of Christ that we're experiencing. And Father, we see many people living in other ways, but we can stand and share our testimonies tonight that life didn't get any better than this. Living yielded to you, living with a mate of like heart, and then you giving us children that you entrust us to try to raise them to honor you, and trying to have proper relationships with our kids, with each other, with our parents, with all those around us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.